You are listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now present Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
A certain man in Germany had committed a great sin and was ashamed to confess it. Yet on the other hand, he could not endure the remorse which he felt and wished to cast himself into the river. But just as he was on the point of doing so, he stopped and, bursting into tears, prayed God to pardon him without confession. One night, in his sleep, he felt someone waking him and heard a voice saying, "Go and make your confession." He went to the church, but yet did not make his confession. He heard the same voice a second night. Again, he went to the church, but after he had entered it, said that he would rather die than confess that sin. He was about to return home when he thought that he would go and recommend himself to the Most Holy Mary, the Blessed Mother, before her image, which was in the church. He had hardly kneeled before it when he felt himself entirely changed. He immediately arose, called for a confessor, and weeping bitterly through grace received from the Virgin, made a sincere confession, and he afterwards said that he felt greater satisfaction than if he had gained all the gold in the world. Good morning and welcome to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria, where we explore why we do what we do and why we believe what we believe. Can the faith of this young man, as expressed in this fitting little story, be found in my parish and yours today? We're living in a world that seems to have outwardly expressed, that is, no need of God, no need of His church, least of all, no need of confession, the sacraments, and the Eucharist. We're living in a world, in a society, in a culture that disdains God. Because to accept the reality that God exists entails the realization that there is good and bad, that there is such a thing as sin, morality, heaven and hell. And yet we're living in a society and a culture that does not want to come to the realization, does not want to have to deal with those realities. They would rather go on and live life the way they see fit, whereby they become their own gods, their own arbiters of what's right and what's wrong. Because if there is a God, then it means that they must conform themselves and their lives to the commandments of God. Where they would rather conform themselves and their lives to their own wishes, needs, and desires. Which, in a sense, leads us to one of those stories, or I should say a reality that many Catholics have to, at one time or another, have to deal with. And that is as to what the saints, the great theologians and mystics of the church, what Scripture has to say with the reality of how many will be saved? Few or many? How many will be saved? Whereby even those who have some Catholic sentiment pursue life as if everyone is going to heaven. And whereby we don't really have to put in much effort if everyone goes to heaven. That we can, in essence, live lives as we see fit if everyone is going to heaven. But what have the theologians, what have the saints, and what have the mystics of the church have to say on this most frightening and awesome reality?
Listening to Radio Maria Canada. We now continue with the program Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zampanti.
Saint Leonard of Port Maurice was considered one of the greatest missionaries in the history of the church. He used to preach to thousands in the open square of most every city and town where he visited. And once his eloquence was so renowned that he gave a 2 weeks mission in Rome, which was also attended by the Pope and the College of Cardinals. He died a most holy death in his 75th year after 24 years of uninterrupted preaching. And one of his most celebrated sermons was one titled "The Little Number of Those Who Are Saved." The little number of those who are saved. In this sermon, which he would give in many places, in many towns and cities, he relied on this sermon for the conversion of great sinners who were brought face to face with the reality of sin and its consequences. And this is what St. Leonard of Port Maurice wrote. Quote, "The subject I will be treating today is a very grave one, and it has caused even the pillars of the church to tremble and filled the greatest saints with terror. Brothers, because of the love I have for you, I wish I were able to reassure you with the prospect of eternal happiness by saying to each of you, you are certain to go to paradise. The greater number of Christians is saved, so you also will be saved. But how can I give you this sweet assurance if you revolt against God's decrees as though you were your own worst enemies? I observe in God a sincere desire to save you, but I find in you a decided inclination to be damned. So what will I be doing today? If I speak clearly, I will be displeasing to you. But if I do not speak, I will be displeasing to God." Here he goes on to reflect on what many, the near unanimous consent of all the past great theologians and fathers of the church, whereby these great saints and mystics of the church have in near unanimity declare that the greater number of Christians will be damned rather than saved. He goes on to say, "It is not vain curiosity, but salutary precaution to proclaim from the height of the pulpit certain truths which serve wonderfully to contain the indolence of libertines, who are always talking about the mercy of God and about how easy it is to convert, yet who live lives plunged in all sorts of sins and are soundly sleeping on the road to hell. To disillusion them and awaken them from their stupor, today let us examine this great question. Is the number of Christians who are saved greater than the number of Christians who are damned? Pious souls," he writes, "you may leave. This sermon is not for you. Its sole purpose is to contain the pride of libertines who cast the holy fear of God out of their heart and join forces with the devil, who, according to the sentiment of Eusebius, damns souls by reassuring them." He goes on to write and refer to some of the great theologians in the church: Cardinals Cajetan, Cardinals Bellarmine, and Cardinal Suarez, in whom he quotes this, whereby Cardinal Suarez, after consulting all the theologians and making a diligent study of the matter, wrote, quote, "The most common sentiment which is held is that among Christians there are more souls damned than those who will be saved." He goes on to write this: "Add to the theologians the authority of the great and Greek and Latin fathers, and you will find that almost all of them say the same thing. St. Leonard goes on to write, "This is the sentiment of St. Theodore, St. Basil, St. Ephrem, and St. John Chrysostom. And you will hear St. Gregory saying clearly, quote, many attain to faith, but few to the heavenly kingdom." End of quote. St. Anselm declares, there are few who are saved. St. Augustine states even more clearly, therefore, few are saved in comparison to those who are damned. And the most terrifying, however, is St. Jerome, who at the end of his life, in the presence of his disciples, he spoke these dreadful words, quote, out of 100,000 people whose lives have always been bad, you will find barely one who is worthy of indulgence. St. Leonard goes on to say, but why seek out the opinions of the fathers and theologians when Holy Scripture settles the question so clearly? Look into the Old and New Testament, and you will find a multitude of figures, symbols, and words that clearly point out this truth, that very few are saved. In the time of Noah, the entire human race was submerged by the deluge, and only 8 people were saved in the ark. St. Peter says that, quote, the ark was the figure of the church, end of quote. Well, here, if you look at it, especially when the story of Noah, it is a story for all time where God is, in this prefigurement, is telling us the awesome truth and reality that compared to the ones who are saved, the ones who were damned are far greater, as it was in the time of Noah. And as St. Peter said, that the ark here, which contained the 8 who were saved, was a prefigurement, a figure of the church. St. Leonard goes on to say, while St. Augustine adds, and these 8 people who were saved signify that very few Christians are saved, because there are very few who sincerely renounce the world, and those who renounce it only in words do not belong to the mystery represented by that ark. Now, if someone stands contrary to this sentiment, that the greater number are damned rather than saved, well, you're going to have to take it up with St. Augustine. You're going to have to take it up with St. John Chrysostom, St. Gregory the Great, St. Anselm, St. Jerome. You're going to have to take it up with the fathers of the church. You're going to have to take it up with our Lord in the Old Testament and in the New. St. Leonard goes on to write, the Bible also tells us that only 2 Hebrews out of 2 million entered the promised land after going out of Egypt, and that only 4 escaped the fire of Sodom and the other burning cities that perished with it. All of this means that the number of the damned who will be cast into fire like straw is far greater than that of the saved, whom the Heavenly Father will one day gather into his barns like precious wheat. Now you can tell me if you've ever heard a sermon in your parish closely, if at all, resembling the words of St. Leonard of Port Maurice, who have heard even close to the sentiments here expressed by St. Augustine or St. Jerome or St. John Chrysostom. Sadly, one can say that many of the sermons we hear in our parishes are more of the kumbaya, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all going to heaven sermons. And that one, just as long as you just love your neighbor, pay your taxes, mow your lawn, getting to heaven is easy and simple. But if getting to heaven is easy and simple, why was the price for our redemption paid in the blood of the Lamb? Why was such a high price put on our redemption? St. Leonard of Port Maurice goes on to write, I would not finish if I had to point out all the figures by which Holy Scripture confirms this truth. Let us content ourselves with listening to the living oracle of incarnate wisdom himself. What did our Lord answer the curious man in the Gospel who asked him, Lord, is it only a few to be saved? Did he, our Lord, keep silence? As unfortunately many priests and pastors do on this subject. He goes on to write, did he answer haltingly? As if trying not to offend? Did he conceal his thought for fear of frightening the crowd? And in reflecting on the words of St. Leonard here, do many of our priests not speak of this matter out of fear of frightening the parishioners? And what does St. Leonard here respond with how our Lord handled this question? He writes, no. Questioned by only one, he addresses all of those present. He says to them, you ask me if there are only few who are saved. Here's my answer. Strive to enter by the narrow gate. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Who is speaking here, writes St. Leonard? It is the Son of God, eternal truth, who on another occasion says even more clearly, many are called, but few are chosen. He does not say that all are called, and that out of all men, few are chosen, but that many are called, which means, as St. Gregory explains, that out of all men, many are called to the true faith, but out of them, few are saved. Brothers, these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are they clear? Tell me now if it is possible for you to have faith in your heart and not tremble. And look at what St. Leonard of Port Maurice says next. He writes this. Is there any state in the world more favorable to innocence in which salvation seems easier and of which people have a higher idea than that of priests, the lieutenants of God? At first glance, who would not think that most of them are not only good, but even perfect? And watch what he says now. Yet I am horror-struck when I hear St. Jerome declaring that although the world is full of priests, barely 1 in 100 is living in a manner in conformity with that state. These are the words of St. Jerome here that St. Leonard was quoting. And is this just something exclusive to the time of St. Jerome? Or sadly, is this something that has been a reality throughout church history, even till today? He goes on to say, St. Leonard, when I hear a servant of God attesting that he has learned by revelation that the number of priests who fall into hell each day is so great that it seemed impossible to him that there were any left on earth, when I hear St. John Chrysostom exclaiming with tears in his eyes, I do not believe that many priests are saved. I believe the contrary, that the number of those who are damned is greater. End of quote. This is the reality that we have to come to grips with. Whether the priest or laity. And yet this is one of the subjects that is rarely, if ever, spoken of in our parishes, in sermons. Brothers and sisters, we have to go back to heeding the words of the ancient church fathers, the saints and the mystics. We have to go back to heeding the words of Saint Leonard of Port Maurice.
listening to Christian Roots here on Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are. To contact us, email christianroots@radiomaria.ca. We now continue with the program. Here once again is your host, Eliseo Zampanti.
In previous episodes that I've recorded here on Radio Maria, I've mentioned the fact that a father stands over his family the way Christ stands over his church, whereby the father has been entrusted as the shepherd of his family, whose responsibility is to guide and protect his family from the wickedness and snares of the devil through all that the world has to throw at them, and to guide this little flock that has been entrusted to him back home to their real father, God. So again, a father's primary responsibility in life is to see that he gets his children home to heaven. As a husband, his primary responsibility, or you can even say vocation in life, is to get his wife to heaven. And as a son of God, primary responsibility is to get himself to heaven. And so it applies to mothers. Their primary responsibility is also to help the father to guide her children to heaven. And also as a wife, it is her vocation in life to guide her husband to heaven. And as a daughter, to save her soul and bring it home to her father in heaven. And as I've mentioned in previous sessions, our leaders of society, our political leaders, stand over us in the nation the way a father stands over his family. It is an enormous responsibility, and woe to those fathers, woe to those leaders, politicians, premiers, members of parliament, congressmen and senators, mayors and aldermen, and whatnot. You have been tasked with an enormous responsibility by the office that you hold. If you use that office to lead the culture, to lead society towards sin, towards perversions, you will be judged that much more harshly for the souls you have jeopardized, for the souls that you have placed in the hands of Satan by the iniquitous laws that you pass and uphold. And so writes St. Leonard of Port Maurice, who had this to say: woe to you who command others. If so many are damned by your fault, what will happen to you? And this applies to fathers whose primary responsibility is to save their family, to bring their family home to heaven. This applies to the priests, whose responsibility is to shepherd the flock that has been entrusted to them home to heaven. And this applies to our political leaders, who by the office which they hold, it is their responsibilities also to guide people in the proper way, and to be in conformity with God's law. Because who is the King of Canada? Christ the King. Who is the Queen of Canada? No, she doesn't reside in Buckingham Palace. The Queen of Canada is the Blessed Mother. So for those in political office, the way you comport yourself has to be in conformity with the laws of God, or you will have much to answer for before the judgment seat of the Lord. St. Leonard goes on to say, if few out of those who are first in the Church of God are saved, what will happen to you? Take all states, both sexes, every condition, husbands, wives, widows, young women, young men, soldiers, merchants, craftsmen, rich and poor, noble and plebeian. What are we to say about all these people who are living so badly? The following narrative from St. Vincent Ferrer, and here St. Vincent Ferrer, if you've never heard of him, go and read the life of St. Vincent Ferrer, a most extraordinary saint of the church. Again, St. Leonard writes, the following narrative from St. Vincent of Ferrer will show you what you may think about it. He relates that an archdeacon in Lyons gave up his charge and retreated into a desert place to do penance, and that he died the same day and hour as St. Bernard. And after his death, he appeared to his bishop and said to him, "No, Monsignor, that at the very hour I passed away, 33,000 people also died. Out of this number, Bernard and myself went up to heaven without delay. Three went to purgatory, and all the others fell into hell." What a most extraordinary and terrifying reality as related here by St. Vincent Ferrer. Where this archdeacon in Lyon, who appeared to his bishop and told him that the very hour that he passed away, so did St. Bernard. And at the same time they passed away, at that very instant, 33,000 people also died. And this archdeacon relates that out of this number of 33,000 people who perished at that moment, that it was only he and Bernard who went to heaven without delay. And out of that 33,000, three went to purgatory, and all the others fell into hell. Why are not the words of St. Vincent Ferrer here related and reflected upon in my parish and yours, one can say? St. Leonard goes on to write, our chronicles relate an even more dreadful happening. One of our brothers, well known for his doctrine and holiness, was preaching in Germany. And he represented the ugliness of the sin of impurity so forceful that a woman fell dead of sorrow in front of everyone. Then coming back to life, she said, when I was presented before the tribunal of God, 60,000 people arrived at the same time from all parts of the world. And out of that number, three were saved by going to purgatory, and all the rest were damned. O abyss of the judgments of God, writes St. Leonard. Out of 30,000, only five were saved. And out of 60,000, only three went to heaven. You sinners who are listening to me, in what category will you be numbered? He goes on to write, "I see almost all of you lowering your heads, filled with astonishment and horror. But let us lay our stupor aside. And instead of flattering ourselves, let us try to draw some profit from our fears. Is it not true that there are two roads which lead to heaven? Innocence and repentance. Now, if I show you that very few take either one of these two roads, as rational people, you will conclude that very few are saved. And to mention proofs, in what age, employment, or condition will you find that the number of the wicked is not 100 times greater than that of the good? And about which one might say, the good are so rare and the wicked are so great in number. We could say of our times what Salvianus said of his. It is easier to find a countless multitude of sinners immersed in all sorts of iniquities than to find a few innocent men. How many servants are totally honest and faithful in their duties? How many merchants are fair and equitable in their commerce? How many craftsmen exact and truthful? How many salesmen disinterested and sincere? How many men of law do not forsake equity? How many soldiers do not tread upon innocence? How many masters do not unjustly withhold the salary of those who serve them, or do not seek to dominate their inferiors? Everywhere the good are rare and the wicked great in number. Who does not know that today there is so much libertinage among mature men, liberty among young girls, vanity among women, licentiousness in the nobility, corruption in the middle class, disillusion in the people, impudence among the poor, that one could say what David said of his time: all alike have gone astray. There is not even one who does good. Not even one." And those the words of Saint David. Saint Leonard goes on to write, "Go into street and square, into palace and house, into city and countryside, into tribunal and court of law, and even into the temple of God. Where will you find virtue? Alas," cries Salvianus, "except for a very little number who flee evil, what is the assembly of Christians if not a sink of vice? All that we can find everywhere is selfishness, ambition, gluttony, and luxury. Is not the greater portion of men defiled by the vice of impurity? And is not St. John right in saying that the whole world, if something so foul may be called, is seated in wickedness? I am not the one who is telling you. Reason obliges you to believe that out of those who are living so badly, very few are saved. But you will say, can penance not profitably repair the loss of innocence? That is true, I admit. But I also know that penance is so difficult in practice. We have lost the habit so completely, and it is so badly abused by sinners, that this alone should suffice to convince you that very few are saved by that path. Oh, how steep, narrow, thorny, and horrible to behold and hard to climb it is. Everywhere we look, we see traces of blood and things that recall sad memories. Many weaken at the very sight of it. Many retreat at the very start. Many fall from weariness in the middle, and many give up wretchedly at the end. And how few are they who still persevere in it till death? St. Ambrose says it is easier to find men who have kept their innocence than to find any who have done fitting penance. Wow. Wow. In echoing here the words of St. Ambrose, that it is easier to find men who have kept their innocence than to find any who have done fitting penance. St. Leonard goes on to write, if you consider the sacrament of penance, there are so many distorted confessions, so many studied excuses, so many deceitful repentances, so many false promises, so many ineffective resolutions, and so many valid absolutions. Would you regard as valid the confession of someone who accuses himself of sins of impurity and still holds to the occasion of them? Or someone who accuses himself of obvious injustices with no intention of making any reparation whatsoever for them? Or someone who falls again into the same iniquities right after going to confession? Oh, horrible abuses of such a great sacrament. One confesses to avoid excommunication, another to make a reputation as a penitent. One rids himself of his sins to calm his remorse, another conceals them out of shame. One accuses them imperfectly out of malice, another discloses them out of habit. One does not have the true and end of the sacrament in mind. Another is lacking the necessary sorrow, and still another firm purpose. Poor confessors, what efforts you make to bring the greater number of penitents to these resolutions and acts, without which confession is a sacrilege, absolution, condemnation, and penance, an illusion. Where are they now, those who believe that the number of the saved among Christians is greater than that of the damned, and who to authorize their opinion? Reason thus: the greater portion of Catholic adults die in their beds armed with the sacraments of the Church, therefore most Catholics are saved. Oh, what fine reasoning! You must say exactly the opposite. Most Catholic adults confess badly at death, therefore most of them are damned. I say, all the more certain, because a dying person who has not confessed well when he was in good health will have an even harder time doing so when he is in bed with a heavy heart, an unsteady head, a muddled mind, when he is opposed in many ways by still living objects, by still fresh occasions, by adopted habits, and above all, by devils who are seeking every means to cast him into hell. There is much more to relate here in the writings of St. Leonard, but we will save that for another time. But ponder on the words that you've heard today. Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Goodbye and God bless. Shame.
listening to Christian Roots, hosted by Eliseo Zompanti, here on Radio Maria Canada.